Are you going to sworn in on Liz tomorrow?
Make sure that he tells the truth.
Ready?
Yes, ma'am.
I call this meeting to order.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
So tonight, our first item on the agenda is a discussion and review of the 2018 MPD projects and a look forward at 2019 projects. Mr. Williamson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd asked and had discussed with the man to come forward on a workshop instead of normally doing it as a department report, and Councilmember Edelman had asked me to do it earlier in the year, so this just worked out. We had the opportunity. Gives us the ability to sit at the table and have more of a conversation than me at the podium and you there. So this is, you know, an informal, you know, presentation. I have some information to share with you. Kind of talk about where we finished up in 2018 and what we look forward to in 2019. So as I go through things, if you have questions, you know, just, you know, let's have a conversation and, you know, work our way through it. So the first page is, you know, that's the team, day-to-day, or city staff, and Alex is in there, Campbell. So that's myself and Tracy and Bob and Jason, who is our team. Again, on this next page, you know, we are the team that is required to, you know, look through all the plans, all the permits, all the orientations. And so we'll also have on the screen, and Brenda will just click it when she keeps up with me. So she's all right. She's doing lots of stuff. So we have a lot of different consultants that work with us, which is Dan Irvin's firm, who's been with us a long time. Does our civil engineering. RH2 does our civil, also parts of our civil engineering. We have Parametrics, Austin Fisher, who does the traffic and oversees the surveys for all the final plats that you'll see. We always do with surveying, and they check the legality of all of our final plats that you are actively participating in. They do that. Donald Hewling is with HWA Geoscience, or the geotech firm. Soil compactions, soil analysis, infiltration rates of stormwater galleries, all those kind of things. Anything to do with dirt, soil, and compacting or water going through it, structural walls, we use those guys for that. And then Jason Walker, which most of you know for Petite, has been with us a long time through all of, you know, the MPDs and stuff, which is a, you know, the ability to carry on with the same consultants who perform exceptionally well work. They understand the product. They understand where we've been, the project. They understand the requirements on different levels of the plats that we do. They understand the phosphorus loading that we've got to protect against on. So that it's a really a good team to have that you don't always have to go back and continually try to revise those conversations and bring people up to speed. The next page, I think all of you have seen this. This is the same mat we've toted out a lot of times. It shows the project overview of the villages, which is also known as 10 Trails. I'm always still seem to call it the villages. But it's the project as we see it now. And, as you see the ring road, where we've pretty much developed that entire area there, or platted it. At least you guys have got the lots done with that area. And we're going to show you where we're going to be moving on in the next few years and as the growth comes forth. But we'll go into more detail of that. The next page is Lawson. We are going to be doing some work on Lawson this year, some exploratory work, but not as far as civil engineering or platting or to build any houses up there, just some work that's part of our due diligence will be up on Lawson. And we'll talk about that also. But the Lawson book is nice and pristine on my desk where the villages is well used and well worn. Yeah. The next page is kind of a summary to kind of show you how we've gotten to where we are on the project. So obviously PP1A Division 1. So remember, the preliminary plat 1A was so large that some of these plats are done large that the hearing examiner lets us final plat them in divisions. And his requirement is that division has to be able to stand upon itself. So once you plot one division, then the next division plugs into that division, but they have to be interconnected. You couldn't just do a division out there that wasn't able to support itself. So that's how you see it's really systematically done. But it's a lot of work, and it's a very large piece of property where in normal cities you'd see smaller plats. The plats that we do would be 10 plats that would come across here, and we're doing them as one large one. So plat 2C, I think all of you know where that is. That's up to the left-hand side. You come in on the main entrance there. It's up to the left. Now, that is, as you'll see in the thing, that's been broken into different divisions also. So we did we final platted plat 2C, division 1. We then came back and did plat 1A, division 2, which are the lots next to the alley lots. So you have the band of the alley lots, and then the next section in there is division 2 of PP1. We have done V13, which as you come in on the ring road, it would be the property on the left-hand side. Those have been platted. You've all given us the final plat. The power meters are in there. They're just currently trying to find the right product mix that's going in there. They've had a lot of people talk to them about what's called a new gen home, where essentially there's a mother-in-law unit built within it, but it's not considered an ADU. It just, you know, has a bathroom and kind of their own little sitting area, but not the ability to do 220 power or cooking. So they're looking to try to find the fits and make sure that all those houses. So when I had had conversations with you earlier, because 15 of these lots have a noise restriction on them, right, that has to be done in so much time, that I notified you earlier around December that we were going to get going in December, they elected to hold back a little bit to make sure they had the right product to bring to market. So they're working through that. I think within the next month or so, they'll have the right product fit in there, and then that product will get going again.
What's the average square footage of those homes then?
Like 2,500 to 2,600, yeah. I mean, because you got a 40 by 100 foot lot, and you know, you got to have a 10 foot and a 5 foot side yard, so there's only so much unless you go up, yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking, if you've got a special little mother-in-law,
yeah.
What square footage?
Yeah, so that's what they're giving up to have that. So, but there is a lot of. I mean, we do have people come into our offices and Barb's office, the community development director, for the record, Barb. A lot of times they're asking for those, you know, active adults, or where is there a place, you know, hey, my mom's active or my dad's active. Is there a place? And we don't have that resource currently in the city. So this is going to give an option that you would be able to have, if you so choose, to have your mother-in-law or somebody live with you. So. Or your kid who will never leave the house. Those are hanging around too. Yeah, exactly. Then we went in and we did PP1A divisions 3, 5, and 8, the very large one. So that took up a lot of time. That brought in 389 additional lots and parcels. So some of those that you did were very large lots. That will then now be, as I'll talk about in here, those will be developed into multifamily units and those type of things. So so when we look at number of lots, we need to realize that some of those are very large lots that will then could be re-subdivided or redeveloped. We are currently in on plat 2C division 2. So if you, most of you have driven up on the plat, you'll see where the Vooner comes in, and as the road turns, and then we stop, and then we go up to where the work trailer is. There's a work trailer on the right hand side, Lennar's. That would then finish the second half. Mm-hmm. Then there'll be an additional, which we'll go into here. So that had to get broken up into multiple divisions because, one, weather, the soils that are working on there, we're sensitive, you know, the owner was, you know, very sensitive about no discharge, you know, dirty waters, which from that one is the only one that discharges to the Rock Creek. We're taking all clean waters from the road. So there is no discharge. We didn't want any stormy, muddy stuff going there. So they took the option to step away from continuing to develop that during the winter and now finishing it up. So there was a time where we did that product, went away from that. Now we're finishing just the last little bit of some curbs, some of the concrete stamped sidewalks. I think most of you have seen those. So the link to those stamped concrete sidewalks are those are the links for the community trails. So when you see that type of stamped sidewalk across it, it's linking you through the trail system. So that was an element that we had. It's not cheap for the developer to do it, but it was something that they felt they wanted to have bring on to us to make that link. And we're okay because a concrete sidewalk that's a crosswalk lasts a long time for the city. So it worked out well for all. Then you'll see 2E, which we'll go into. This is what we're heading into start now in 2019. So we will be doing the preliminary plat for 2E, which is essentially the last 40 lots off on 2C. But since that wasn't part of 2C, we had to name it as 2E. It might be 2C on steroids, but it's 2E, actually. So, we then are down working on currently and have been working on plat 2A. As these plats come in, we work on them. The developer, after he first proposed it, went through 2A, and we got the initial clearing grades done so we could do that in the summer or towards the end of summer. There's no work on it in the winter. They're letting it sit. They had us stop then on working on 2A, and then we went and finished up divisions 3 through 5 and 8. That took all of our effort and everybody's effort to get there. Now we're done with that, just doing last stuff. We're now back in the planning modes on 2A and propose to have a hearing in front of the hearing examiner in February to bring those through the final plat process with the hearing examiner. Plat 2D is the plat that would be on the backside, and I'll show you a map of these here in a little bit. We're kind of going through the details now, and then we'll is on the backside of where everybody knows the big regional pond is there.
Right.
The first, there'll be a one layer that will be part of 2A, but then up on the other side of that and above there will be 2D. 2D is slated to be an age qualified, which is a nice way to say you have to qualify because you're mature enough to live there, I guess. So you'll be qualified, you know. And as you'll see, that'll be a big plat. There'll be a lot of work in there for us, so we'll be doing that. And then V24, which we already have gotten preliminary plat approval through the hearing examiner, went to hearing, got that all approved. That one, engineering, final engineering, should be coming to us within the next 3 weeks or so. And then we'll go do our final review to that, issue the permits, and then you'll see the activity there. So that's on the ring road as you come to the very end of it, to the intersection where we block you guys off. Mm-hmm. It's the property on the left-hand side there, and I'll show you pictures here. So just so you get familiar with that. Mm-hmm. The commercial, I know everyone always wants to know what's going on in the commercial.
Yes, please.
The commercial has gone through quite a significant changes. Looking at the market from the owner's perspective on what they want to bring in, what they don't want to do, making sure the fit's right, making sure the architect's right. We spend a lot of time to make sure that it's going to sound strange. We spend a lot of time to make sure that the parking and the lighting and the parking was done right. Because we know where it's all laid out and we know how anticipation and we know if we don't want you to come around and have this glaring beacon of light there. You should be able to see the structures. You should be able to see that it's shopping. You should be able to see that there. But a lot of time has been spent on making sure you're in compliance with the dark sky. Our other challenge is we have to make sure that we have safe pedestrian and crossing within the parking lot. So it's this struggle, you know, of trying to get, and it took us time to get that all worked out. I think we're there. They're going to turn in their next round on Tuesday to us, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to finalize and move forward with that. So,
a lot of us are looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement built around
there. I mean,
it's
not just us. I mean, there's more than just the city of Black Diamond, because you've got that unincorporated King County area that's just west.
Yeah.
They're all excited about it, too, so there's a bigger draw.
So we hopefully have that coming here shortly. Now, again, once I issue the permits, that doesn't mean necessarily that construction activity starts. Mm-hmm. That would be up to them, the developer, to determine they wanted to move forward with the project. And those, so we'll issue the hopefully the permits within the next 3 weeks, probably sooner than that, and then we'll move forward with that process.
And what is, how many parking spots are you looking at for the commercial area? Because I think, you know, you're looking at trying to get your residents in there to walk or mm-hmm. bike to these places, but you want to encourage outside people to that live further away to come.
Yeah, so there is a parking ratio that is required. They had, I think they had to have 313, boy, if I pull this number off of memory, it's 313, I believe, that they had to have for the amount of commercial space they're currently doing. Okay. And then through the lots, because you establish the lots and you approve those, some of those lots are going to say just parking. So there had to be an agreement that those parking spaces could be shared by other commercial things. So the developer is putting in all that infrastructure ahead of time. So then later on when Bank of America wants to come in, or these are not things I know anything about are coming in, just making up things for the record,
or a
drugstore or something, that shared parking lot agreement is already there and the infrastructures are already put in. So it's been pretty thoughtful as they went through that. And there's on-street parking on the main street and some different things. And if we remember right, we had you come in and tweak that. Remember, we came in for a mm-hmm. plat alteration to get that corner a little bit different for the reveal that we all wanted. So we internally are excited to get this project going. I know the developer is excited to move forward, and we're going to deliver something really nice. They are going to build you something that we can be proud of. I mean, it's going to be a nice project.
I have a question. So the parking, roughly the number was correct, you remember, including the employees of the commercial buildings that they're going to have parking also. Is that going to be included in that amount for public to use the parking and the employees of all these commercial buildings?
Parking ratio is built upon the use and the square footage of whether there's an employee or whether you have customers. It's a formula that we use.
Yeah.
And so that's built in there. So yeah. There's a lot of parking in there.
Okay.
But we also want to encourage the people to walk.
Of course.
So the parking is sized for the establishments that are coming there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the residents, I would hate if someone from Skyline Lane or some of those other lanes is driving, you know, but I've seen worse, you know, a block over. But
yeah.
I think there's a lot of activity, a lot of people walking in the project, so we believe that that's in the interconnection. Once we put the commercial components in there, people are going to understand why we spent so much time on the trails and the interconnections, because you could come from Platte 2C and walk all the trails all the way down and pop out of your commercial thing without mm-hmm. having to walk on the main roads, without having to mm-hmm. do that. So there's going to be adventures for kids to go on these trails. There's going to be, you know, pathways for the mom to, you know, go with the stroller or the little kid riding his bike or the mm-hmm. senior. There's going to be all different mechanisms to come to that commercial hub, and I think that's what you're really going to see it thriving. So.
If someone could build us a sidewalk across the bridge.
Well, you know what? We're going to get to that here.
We could walk up there and go to those commercial establishments from a different place in town.
We tried that once, but we're going to. Yeah. Okay, so the next page, we're all moving on to the next page. There's just an aerial overview. I really like this picture. It shows you all of, you know, the components where we are. If we could look, everyone see where the pond is there?
Yeah.
The area to the left of the pond, that is 2A. And on the other side of the pond, the little area that's kind of clear there a little bit, that will also be part of 2A. So you can reference, you know. So that's already been the initial clear and grade. We're going to do our final clear and grade, weather, you know, permitting here, and get moving on that. You can see 2C, where it's been up and finaled. You'll see the next section, and you'll see the very end of it, where there looks like a little half of a moon there carved out of it. That'll be 2A. I think we all know where V13 is, right? Okay. The next one, again, is a conceptual site plan that has actually the numbers put on it, but it's at such a smaller scale, it's a little bit harder to see there. The next page is a little bit blown up and labeled there, the commercial components there. But what I would draw your attention to, and it's not in this, and I do apologize, I noticed it at the very end. Division 8, which would be up on the far left-hand corner, the big gray area there, that is slated, and we have had first conversations and will intensify over the next few weeks. That has been sold to another builder, and they are slated to build 160 plus apartment units in there. So there are going to be 12 units. There's some carriage houses also in there. So that's going to be active this year also. So at least through the planning processes and getting all the permits and getting that through. And then once my team is done with it, then it goes to Ms. Kincaid's team to oversee the inspections for all the nails and pounding and all that stuff. So we hand that. That's going to be a big project for all of us. So let's keep that in mind. 165 apartments in a town that hasn't built an apartment since my life. Right? I mean, it's, I've never known of, you know, so.
So just out of curiosity, is there other places apartments would go, or is that specifically on a buyer that comes in and says this is a great spot that apartments would go, or
I think the location, there was a lot of thought and a lot of conversations between the Oak Point people, the master development team, of where apartments should go, where they should lay out be. So you want those people to be close to a commercial corridor. So as we know, we bring on the commercial, that's really important for the apartment people, because when the developers from apartments, they generally like them towards a commercial component, so there are people, once they're there, they can go grab whatever they need. So the two are kind of delivered at the same time, which is a really good, you know, product mix. So as the commercial comes on, we're going to be chasing it with, you know, the multifamily that's going to come in there. So by the time the multifamily and they start renting those out, there's going to be a base of the commercial people there. So it's going to work there.
How much of the apartments fall into the affordable housing percentage that we have to do?
So we have to do affordable housing citywide, right? So we meet our components citywide. So whatever they set the rent at, that's at their discretion. There isn't a affordable component that has to be within those apartments there. So there's that one. Again, I just wanted to show you the best street lights ever designed.
Can we get those arrested?
You should. I saw those are ours, so we really like those out there. And I just wanted to show, you know, how much effort has been put into the, you know, the plantings and the upkeep and the care of this product coming in there. So it has been a really, I think a lot of people make comments of the amenities that are going in there. So at the end of 2018, within the MPDs, the city had issued 123 single-family residential permits, one duplex and one multifamily permit within the MPDs. And there's still 18 left in the queue, right? And then Barb has a bunch more, and she'll share all the details from the rest of the city. But I don't think we've ever in the city issued that many permits ever in the city of Black Diamond, ever. Even when we were building Morgan Creek and we had Lawson Hill going and we had the credit goes to a lot of the city staff members that really have kept this thing chugging along and processing the permits and moving through it. We did some innovative things that you could come and get your plans registered, pre-registered, because if you only have 12 houses and you're building that same house multiple times, come in, let us go through the whole process. Let's get you registered. Then when you bring in that set of plans, the city still gets 90% of those fees, right? And we process it, and you get your building permit in a matter of days, right? You're not sitting as a brand new one and going
more
through.
Efficient.
Yeah, exactly. The Civic Park, I think we all have enjoyed the Civic Park. It has been a collaboration between the developer and the MDRT about how the parks are laid out, how the park structures go. They have a really good team that works. Also call them Triad, but they're David Evans and Associates. who oversees the parks, and Kevin Thomas, who works for the Oak Point Development with our team, that we're pretty proud of these parks. It's got a lot of thought and trying to bring good amenities and trying to make it all lay out, so.
The moms in town love the parks.
We do. And the one thing I think.
It's a play date destination now.
Yeah, one thing to give credit to the people who approved the development agreement and Oak Point who did is these parks are open to the public. They didn't have to do that. But these parks are open to the public, and then they take care of the maintenance, Oak Point, in there. So it's really a blessing.
I've been up through the development.
There's always people.
There's always kids and moms and dads out there.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a true amenity to everybody. I think they're still working with some fancy locks for the bathrooms and stuff so they can lock or unlock. We're trying to do a timing sequence so someone doesn't have to physically lock it. So those restrooms are up, operational, but they're working still through the lock system. They wanted to not have to have a caretaker, but at a certain time, the bathroom would lock it.
So did they decide to take the zip line out? I know they had lots of issues with that.
We're still working. We're hopeful that will actually function.
Yeah.
It's been an issue for us.
We've wanted that zip line a long time.
I know, right? Remember from,
we took that one to her, yes. Yeah, so.
Right, exactly, yes.
Right. So the next page shows our preliminary plats 2A, 2D, and 2E. And don't hold us for those layouts because they are just, you know, conceptual. Pretty close to what they ultimately will be. Plat 2A, the blue piece there, that is V21. If we can see that number, that's the school site. So we'll have a school site within there, the housing wrapping around it. Mm-hmm. 2A up on the other side of the bench, because that's an elevated type housing that'll be there because it sits on that base of the bench. Then where we see 2D, so 2D goes around, and it loops over onto the right-hand side a little bit. There's some units over there. That would be 2D. That is, will all get platted at the same time and all final engineered and all that. Will probably come in final platting in stages because that's a big area. It's on some slopes. It's on some till soil, so we have to be careful how we do that. So. We're already having discussions with the developer on how we can, you know, make this into come and be platted within stages and meet, obviously, what their development needs are. And if you look to the far right-hand side, you'll see 2E. We also call that the claw because just the way it kind of looks like a claw there. So that's just that little bit that we'll be bringing in. So that is that plat there. The next parcel is a V24. So look at that and then flip back to the page we just saw, and you can see the V24, and you'll see where it's kind of tucked in right there at the base of the hill there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So what you see as you come down now the road, you see a fence in front of all these houses and the intersection here. So that will be removed, and those houses will front that. So it will be like a traditional house maybe you saw in Boston or San Francisco where the sidewalk there and you just come up. So if you look at the back, trying to live up to the standards that we talked about, trying to reduce the pervious surfaces, try to do some of those things. You'll see on the back row there, we dropped a row of sidewalks there behind those houses. Those are just going to have, you know, the driveway cuts up into it. It's going to be nice. There's a sidewalk on the other side of it that wraps all things. The hearing examiner agreed with us and thought that was an innovative idea to do those things. So this has already been approved through pre-plat. Again, we're hoping within the next month or so, the developers let us know that we'll start final engineering of this. And then, so you see how this is all getting to a really crazy summer for me? Yeah, so we'll talk about that. So that's where we are here. We're going to jump to the commercial here. We are looking and have done buildings A and C. I didn't have a really good one that I could show you what the fronts of the buildings look like, the architectural stuff. It is really, really nice. It is really, I have it in my office, but couldn't get it to load and take the picture and those things. So
is that the one with the water park sprinkling I saw on their Facebook page? Ten Trails had a beautiful, like, water fountain for kids to play in.
No. There is no kids in the water fountain with what I do. So
on Facebook, you guys have a post, and it looks like there's that sprinkler, like a.
Oh, the kids can run through.
Yeah.
So, you know, marketing people and real practical things that happen, it can be but they are really, really nice, really okay. Nice buildings. So okay. If you are curious, council members, pop by. I can unroll the sheets that are 72 pages thick and show you what they look like. So they are massive rolls. So I just wanted to get you that so you see the lot layout, so you see the other commercial components there. That could, so let's say like lot 67, depending on what's going there, there's capacity on lot 69 to handle parking, right? So whatever goes in there, we all have this sharing of the parking lot in common so that we can meet that area. So in the past, the MDRT ventures outside of what is normally known as the villages, and we do projects outside within the city. Robert's Waterline, the roundabout, those things. And then it seems we go into the project for about a year. Then the next year we come out into and cause ruckus with everybody, and then we come back in. So this is a year where we're going to be coming back out. So we are working on... And we'll, by the end of next week, issue the permits for the extensions of the Roberts Drive sidewalk. That's our responsibility. So our responsibility takes it from 236th, which is the road next to the development where the sidewalk ends, and we come down the hill to the first driveway. And we stay west on the west side of the driveway. So that'll be our, there's a big wall, there's a lot of stuff that we have engineered and have done and went through that. So we will start that. We will get our part done. When we're done, then Seth and Scott and the city side will bring their sides, the best way to
from
do
Brockner's
it.
From Brockner's up to
yes.
The bridge.
Yes, yeah, and across the and bridge across and up to where we end. Yes, so we're getting in, we're getting our stuff done, then we'll get out of their way and then they can come in. Instead of having multiple within it, yes. So we are also working on site planning and design of the satellite fire station. Sure.
How long do you expect the whole Rock Creek Bridge activity to last?
I think from when it starts until we're done, I would say that would be a six-month project. Okay. 3 months for us, roughly, 3 months for Seth. Get his stuff going through
and
there, the bridge deck.
I'm assuming that there will be some road closures down the one lane.
There will be,
something
yes.
Something like that will happen.
Yeah.
So.
When there will be a road closure only when we are setting probably the bridge structure, but that's Seth's work. Yeah. But me and him talked about that you generally is going to be an aluminum structure, lightweight. They'll bring it in on a truck and bring in a crane and... Before that, all the monuments we built and all the pedestals to set it on, and they'll set that, there, leave, open it back up to one lane and do those things. So there are some, the abutments on the side of the bridge have to get cut off and redone. So there are some things that's going to be a lot of one lane type work on there.
Yes. Make sure that the people that live in Morganville and use Roberts Drive multiple times a day, that they are given enough advance notice.
Right. So last time when we...
To alleviate the complaining.
Last time when we did Roberts Drive and we did the water lines through the bridge there, we worked with Goodfellow Brothers, and they went to all the gravel pits and all the thing and got on like the truckers associations and got them to let them know avoid this area, essentially, so whether we have to employ a police officer again, which helped sometimes through that process, we'll work through that, but there are, some big blocks that have to be set, and so there will be, it's going to be a challenging time, but when it gets done, I think we all agree it's going to be such a betterment for the entire community.
Yeah.
So a little bit of pain to get something really, really nice.
Yeah.
So the fire station, which we'll show a rendering here later, we are working on that. We are currently in the process of doing the boundary line adjustment so that we can show the council the true property outlines and an appraisal for the property of what's the property's worth and those type of things. So as we are, so I know it's a long process, but trying to get anything with title towards the end of this year with all the housing and all the stuff, it's been absolutely crazy. So we are working through that process to get that expedited and come and talk to you guys. It's been really busy. We are going to work on the Tacoma Waterline second connection on the Lake Sawyer Road. That connection will happen within the gravel pit, the Palmer Coca-Cola pit. There is a Tacoma pipeline there. We'll make our second connection there, which has always been anticipated. And then we will bring that back down the Lake Sawyer Road, which we had already went halfway down that road when we did the roundabout. We laid the pipes and went that way, so we didn't have to tear the roundabout now. Yes. So, so our goal is to bring that in. There's a couple of things that's good about that. That one brings a second connection for the city, not just this project. So should something happen to our springs or should have something to the water tower here, we can feed the rest of the city through this connection. This will come back through. So it's giving the city really a triple option. You know, our own spring source, the first connection up there, and then the secondary connection. You know, so it's a really, we're building a very robust city, I mean system for the city the size we are in the connection. So that'll be going on. The Roberts Drive 10 Trails Parkway roundabout, the second one, we are going to start that work on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so notice to proceed and a pre-con is happening tomorrow. All the bonds are in. Everything's approved. Everything's done. The first thing is you'll be seeing tree cutting on the other side of the road. We're going to build a bypass road again. So I think everybody enjoyed our last bypass road. Kept you going through.
It was interesting.
We will build you another bypass road that's going to come around, and then we're safe. We're doing the work in there.
Sure.
You guys can go about your business and not have to worry. There'll be a couple of days where there'll be transition once we do the paving and the last cut-ins, just like before, and they'll be, you know, off and on. But we have a really good traffic plan, really good system. When that road gets built, we're going to have them put actually mobile light plants on there so the road will be lit up so it's not dark, trying to make those extra steps. So that's going on. Now, if we don't have enough going on, we are deep within the planning of the State Route 169 and Roberts Drive roundabout. We have approved the channelization that the city believes meets all the standards, the radiuses for the roundabout. All that stuff has been worked through our team, the developers, transportation, and their civil engineers, our civil engineers, our transportation people. Now we're going back to present it back to the state. Okay. So we'd already pretty much had the state look at it and say yes, but we want to get through all that process and bring them there, let them make their little tweaks, and then we'll move forward on that process. We hope to be doing some stormwater work out there on the highway and stuff this summer also, which will set us up for the construction of this roundabout. Is a two-year process. We've got to do it in multiple steps. So we will go through that. So that's our initial thing. The next one is a sidewalk extension picture. I think you guys all saw that before. Stole that from Seth. Satellite fire station, just so we're always keeping that. You know, that's kind of where we're looking at putting it. Once we do the boundary line adjustments and all those things. I think it's always important to, you know, show the traffic improvements on that thing. If any of you ever want a copy of this that's actually a little bit more legible, just let me know. We can get this. We know the traffic is a concern from everybody. We're bringing our traffic projects that are required for us years in advance before we're even required to do these. We are well ahead of our traffic components for the MPD, and we continue to move those forward. The next page will show you what the new roundabout will look like and the temporary bypass road that we are building there. It'll then now hook everything together, and then this will actually become more of the main entrance, you know, to the project. Oh. This was always intended to be the main entrance, but it was easier to build the ring road first and move that way. So once this gets done, and the department's on the left-hand side, and the commercial on the right-hand side, this is the, and you, it's a beautiful view when you stand there, you look down, you see the park, you see the mountains, you see how it's all laid out. It's really nice. I'm hoping, Brenda, this next one shows up better on, it did on my computer than it printed out. Not real good.
But we can still see it.
So with some creative imagination, that's where we're looking to put the roundabout, is right there. So what I do ask the council is to stay in our corner for the next 2 years as we work through this, because it's going to be difficult. I'm excited about building it. I wasn't, but I am. The mayor's told me I'm excited about building this, so we are excited about doing this. That's just an inside joke. But a lot of patience. Please be patient with us. And our first step is doing the stormwater and getting the stormwater vaults and all that in, because we'll use that to be where we'll control stormwater from the construction site. Mm. Otherwise, we've got a big problem. So we want to get that in, hopefully get that done here by the end of this summer. There's a 60-inch water main and a 20-inch water main that we have to move up on the hill. So we need to get those exposed, get the new ones in, get ready to make that connection. Because next winter is when they'll give me the opportunity to shut that pipe down and make the connection, because we'll take everybody got to water it, right? Mm-hmm. So there's got to be a lot of planning in it. Then that gets done. Then we put that out to bed. Then we actually start building on the roundabout the next summer, right? So this is a multiple-year project that we're going to go through. Talk with the mayor. We're going to come out with a very aggressive public information about this. Yeah. We're going to share with WashDOT and the county and the state. I'll be going to Enumclaw doing speak engagements on this. The mayor will be Maple Valley, because it's a bigger area. We're going to really get it out. A lot of good publicity on this. You know, we're going to work with the channelization people to make sure we can build temporary roads. There's a lot of different things we're going to be working in this, but we got to get the message out there way in advance, you know. You know, it seems 3 years ago we were talking about tearing down the viaduct, and now we're tearing the viaduct down. Everybody's freaking out on Monday morning, right?
Wow.
Which we know is going to happen, but we're just going to get this
media
out there.
Hype,
yeah. Yeah, we're
going
to get this
None
out
of us
there.
Are going down there.
No,
we don't
know,
go to Seattle.
Right.
There's no reason to go to Seattle.
I'm working from home on Monday.
Yeah. So the road right where it comes around the bend, is that where it's going to come across?
On
the top side?
The one up on top?
Yeah.
Yeah, that road's going to come up. And it's going to bend and go to the left, and we're going to turn it, and that's where the Ravensdale Road is going to connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Ravensdale Road will come across, and then we'll come down through the top of that roundabout.
So this intersection will disappear.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Now, we might keep that intersection, because one of the thoughts is we could build that upper element, right, without messing with the highway, and route traffic in through that, still using that connection, while we come down. So we haven't got to that point yet, but there are some ideas of building certain parts of the roundabout that we then rally traffic through that while we're building the other parts of it. Yeah.
What about the Lawson Connector? Is that what this other kind of looks
so
like?
So whether
road?
The Lawson Connector comes into here, or we bring Lawson down a little bit farther up with another set of things, what's kind of still up in the air, how that ultimately does. Mm-hmm. This meets our component for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, quite frankly, it was always intended just to be a set of signals. Mm-hmm. We're going to straighten up the intersection and get it. And obviously, I think most of you know the state has changed their rules, and you got to do the roundabout. So we're trying to build this roundabout where we intended to have the signals for a couple of years, get a better feel of what's going on. The developer said, well, we're going to have to build it. Let's just build it. So, you know, we're looking at $9 million here. So a lot of effort, a lot of energy. is going to be put in there. But again, I'll keep saying this every time I can, patience with this project with us, please. We are, it's we're going to upset people. So.
Yeah.
You just have to tell
you're the one.
Yeah.
Patience.
You know, that's, I think that'll be the motto.
Yeah, maybe we should.
2020 through 2023. Patience. Calm down.
Sure, it's for all of us.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
I want to just take a picture of the name on my sailboat.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is that the name of your boat?
Yeah.
So, as you can see, we're going to be really busy. It's a big push here. We'll do this stuff here, then we'll be back on site, you know, for, but this is the year with the roundabout, the Roberts Drive. We'll be out for those projects a little bit here, but then the year after, so not this summer, but next summer, that really is going to.
So how really many houses were sold up there today?
I don't track houses that sold.
December 31st, there was 11 houses sold in 10 trails and 7 houses sold up at Lawson Hills and no other new houses in the city.
What I track is, for my role as the is, are the lots sold to builders?
Right.
Has a developer done it and meets obligation and sells those lots before we continue on? Yes. 90% of all these lots that I've discussed with you are already sold or in purchase and sale agreements. So, yeah.
That's good.
But yes.
It was $20 million worth of land transactions between Oak Point and Lennar Homes was about 15 or 16, and then Mainview Homes was about 4.5 or something like that. So $20 million of land purchase, and then we had $8 million worth of house transactions in the city. Now, that includes, you know,
resale
homes, too. So we had, that was our biggest month ever.
Yeah. So we're going to be welcoming some new builders this year. You know, the Ichijo folks have broken ground and are in there doing their contact infiltration systems and foundation. The Rudd folks are really close to moving forward with their 5s and 7-plexes. That those will have to get done, so we'll be welcoming that. And Mainview Homes, we met with them today. They have 28 lots within the project also. So we're going to have more than just the two builders. We're now going to have 5 builders this next year. So it was challenging to keep control of 2 builders. They're good. They are good. I would compliment the developer and the people who do the Homeowners Association for 10 Trails to being good partners with my inspectors to enforce things, to keep the roads clean, to keep it done. I think we've done, my team is, you know, the guys who work for me, Bob and Jason, have done a really good job making sure a lot of dirt and stuff doesn't get dragged out into the rest of the city. So that is something that we,
like you've already done the last overlay through quite a bit of.
On some of the roads, we have done the final overlay, but others, you know, that's the challenge on a big project like this. If you had your choice, you'd build in the back and overlay and just work your way out.
Right.
We're building in the front, and we know there's a lot of construction. So some of the roads will have to start getting their final overlays on them, you know. And
it just looks really nice up there.
Yeah, it's. I think once we get V13 energized, you know, if people live in there, things happening this next year. They have the Lennar Group is aggressively bringing on new teams to help. They're focusing a lot of energy on Black Diamond. So I think with Mainview, it's going to add a different caliber of home. I think the townhouse is coming through. I think this apartment stuff going through, plus all the other stuff, we're really, you know, there's a real sense of excitement of energy building in the city, citywide, right? This project is spurring off other projects that people are willing to invest money now that they wouldn't if they didn't see these things. So. But I'm open to any questions if you guys have anything.
So you see the need to hire more employees with 5 developers, with 169 construction, with the other roundabout on Roberts, with the sidewalk project, and not just MDAR, but I mean the city as well. It seems like a lot going on and a lot of pull on staff.
So I can just speak for my department. I mean, me and Barb work day to day. It's, but I'm not going to speak for Barb. I'll let Barb. For my department, we have the ability to ramp up pretty fast through our consultants, right? So I can respond very fast with on-site inspectors, engineers, whatever, because, quite frankly, because of the contracts that you've allowed me to do and to have that flexibility. Again, and the developer trusting it enough of me to give us enough money to hire to do that. That's the whole idea as MDRT is. We have a few city staff people. Mm-hmm. So I could have Bob, who's our senior inspector, he could manage a couple of projects if I bring in some other people, let's say from RH2 or from various to oversee those things, and Bob's kind of doing his stuff there. Jason has worked for the city for a long time. You know, we could put Jason onto all the water and the storm, and he could have a couple of guys. So we could rise up. I don't know that my other directors have that same flexibility that I do, because we did bind ourselves in the development agreement to timely inspections, whether they be houses. We can't tell them you're out 8-10 weeks. We cannot do that. That is violation of the development agreement. We have timely responses that we are obligated to do. So, but then if there's enough revenue coming from those guys doing stuff, then Barb can team up or hire or do however Barb needs to manage that. We talk every day, numerous times throughout the day, and letting each other know what's going on, the ebbs and flows of everything. But yeah, this is going to be
need for more employees.
Yeah. But I have the ability to,
right.
You know, like we started February last year, 10-hour days. By March, we were 10-hour days, and we were 12-hour days and Saturday, and we did that all the way through November.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
And we'll be hiring another public works utility worker, and we have in the budget money to hire either a permit tech or a public works admin person or combined of those two. And we have in the budget to hire somebody to do code enforcement. So we'll be working together between all the departments to see what's the best fit or who we can find that will make that work the best. And then as we move forward, we'll be looking at for our budget for the next year, what we need to do to augment all of those different teams.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. I think it's a time where we're going to see things happening and building the base. We all talked about building the base. We're building that base that, yeah, then, you know, in a couple of years, you add a person here, you add a person there, beyond just the fill-in people, because you're going to need that, and mm-hmm. that base starts growing. Because these... you talk about space, yeah. There's a different level of expectations, I'll do as nice as I can, from the people who are moving in here than when Daryl Buss sees Andy Williamson. There's a different level of expectation of what he expects from me, right? They have high expectations of full services. Daryl understands where we are. I'll just use him because I've known him a long time, of how things work. So I think that's going to be a growing learning experience for city staff also, that, you know, there's a higher expectation. So. But if that's it, thank you. Thank you for listening to me. You know, talk for almost an hour. I'm pretty passionate about it and excited. So thank you for letting me do it. I do enjoy it. It's fun.
And I think that the thing that I've heard the most from the community people that were against the development and people that were iffy, the most that I hear from people is they like the pace at which it's going. They like how beautiful that it is. And so even people that were against it was like, you know, it didn't explode like this bomb at 6,050 homes. It's going at a reasonable pace. Houses are being built. The amenities are being built at the same time. The parks are being built. So I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback from people that were on each side, and I think that's that's good that it's there's a different viewpoint out there, and as we get more people in 10 Trails and in any of the new houses, that we're going to have a new face on our community, and just want to hope that we can integrate them into our community.
Well, and we already do have a new face. I mean, I was at Bellevue Square today talking to a clerk in a store who comes out to Lake 12 to go fishing.
Oh, yeah.
And she's all excited as we got to talking about the development and what was going on, because she knew it was coming, but she hadn't been up Roberts Drive.
Mm.
And so while my friend was doing her thing, I just filled her with all sorts of good information. But she was very positive about the city. No negative stuff at all.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I think that's really good. And even from the political perspective, when I go to some of these meetings where elected officials are around, we're getting really good feedback from them, too.
Good.
So our reputation is now changing back to what it should be.
Yep.
Well, it's good leadership, too. Thank you for your confidence in us. You know. Thank you.
Well, I think we've got a good team. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of those things where repeatedly we see you guys doing a good job, knowing what you're doing, keeping us informed, right?
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So our next item is a discussion on ways to block safe injection sites, and I think where we need to decide is if we want to ban safe injection sites, and we have some consensus here that we will, the next step would be to go to the attorney. So you want to have a discussion, or what do you know, your thoughts?
What's everybody's thoughts? I mean,
I think that for me, I think it's good to ban it in the city of Black Diamond. We did a resolution, I can't remember if it was last year.
Or the year before. Even I don't remember when we did it.
So I don't see that bringing a site like that out to Black Diamond is going to help.
Did you all read the email from Erica Moore?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to help the city. I don't think it's going to help our population here. I think we have resources right now that people that have addiction of some sort have resources to get that from the community center or outreach program.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would just be good to just bring it to the attorney, have him write something up, the council then can come back, have a discussion as a council whole at the meeting, and then either pass it or not pass it.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research on it, and
looking at the effect that it's had on the neighborhoods in Vancouver, B.C., yeah, where they have them is just, we can't let that happen to our property owners, right? I mean, the value of their properties will just go through the floor.
Well, right? we discussed it at our public safety meeting today, and the police chief is definitely against having one in Black Diamond because she said it would really hurt our safety level in mm-hmm. the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think something else, you guys will be shocked, but in Erica's memo that she sent to us today, she said, we don't have the medical facilities here to be able to manage it. You know, you can't just say, yeah, here's your site. It doesn't work that way. And yeah, I mean, even down my street a few years ago, I found some syringes a couple of different times. I think that guy has finally gotten some help. But we don't want to encourage, Black Diamond's forever, has had the reputation where the druggy people all came that wanted to tune out, and I mean, from when I was a kid. So we don't want to encourage that behavior. Our police department has done an excellent job over the years of getting all of those, the meth houses and the people that were cooking and doing all that stuff, to clean up this whole city. And so I don't think we want to do anything that's going to negate all that hard work either.
Well, and we want to be proactive from the standpoint that some medical facility comes in, like,
right,
to say 10 Trails, that we want to already have the ban in place if that's what you want to do.
And Eric was a little bit off on that. It doesn't have to be there already. They just have to
establish
it, right?
Right.
So it can't be like you can't open one, right? But already established medical facility could open a new one here, right? So it is something we'd have to worry about.
But if we go ahead and have the attorney draft all the paperwork that's required. I assume we call the DNR, that's the two of them. And then we could have that enforced. Now, in a few years, maybe we might change our mind, you know. Like Chris, when you brought up the whole marijuana thing. Mm-hmm. A few years ago when that law first passed, we were all, well, most of us were very adamant about banning it. Mm-hmm. Now, the world has kind of calmed down a little bit. There's processes in place. If we want to start thinking about that again, I'm not a fan myself, but we can always look at it again. We can always in the future or that future council say, okay, the circumstances have changed. Now we need to do this. And I think we should move forward with
it. Yeah, and the science that I've read on it, the studies on the effect, it doesn't work. Right. No,
there are mixed reviews. Safe injection sites have been done initially in Vancouver, quite a few places in Europe, and pretty prominently in Australia. And the reviews really are mixed about whether it's helpful to a community. It does keep the community cleaner. Whether it actually helps the individuals is another story. There's some anecdotal evidence that it actually increases their drug use because they know that if they get in trouble, there's going to be somebody there to save them at that moment. So it actually does, in some cases, increase overdoses.
Well, and it encourages heroin use, which is a felony.
Illegal substance.
It's illegal.
So, you know, you can say, you know, it doesn't work. Well, it depends on what kind of statistics you're looking at. And we could have people come to us and say, oh, well, there's this and this and this benefit. So I think going through our attorney really can help us narrow down exactly what we're talking about. And in the email that we received today, the last point was that it's a waste of time for us to discuss this. No. Having a discussion is never a waste of time, and it's not irrelevant, and it's not a moot point, because Black Diamond is growing, and our population is growing and changing. Our business structure is growing and changing, and we cannot just sit around and wait for the next thing to happen and be blindsided. So all of us need to be... I think individually we should research and read and see, you know, what the information is out there, and then when we have presented to us what other communities in our area have done and what our options are, then we can be pretty well informed about what is best for Black Diamond.
So I did do a little bit of research, but I didn't get it right all down. So Australia, Europe, and Canada are ones that have... injection sites. There's over 100 sanctioned supervised sites. From their studies, from the AMA, Association of Medical,
or American Medical
Association. And Harvard University, on the pro side of it was they reduced the number of, one, overdose deaths, reduced infectious disease, increase in the number of people seeking treatment, so they actually had increased number of people feeling safe and being there and then getting the information and talking to whoever was there on site. They don't increase drug trafficking or crime in the area where facilities are located. So that was one thing they did learn. One thing I found interesting was in 2014 through 2016, there was an underground site in the U.S., and they had 100 opioid addicts. They had 2,514 injections, two overdoses, which were reversed to not be deaths. They prevented 1,725 public disposal of syringes, and they prevented 92.2% of that would have occurred outside elsewhere within your community. So I thought that was interesting. I'm still not for having an injection site here, but I thought, you know, there is pros. There must be some pros to it. Obviously, there are some cons, but again.
Another interesting set of statistics is that the individuals who use the safe injection sites also use other sites at the same time. So home, out in the public, other people's homes or businesses. So they're not using those places exclusively.
Right.
And the people seeking drug treatment is greatly reduced. So, you know, it really is a mixed bag and a balancing act.
So it would be interesting, and I didn't get a chance to call any of the cities that do have these injection sites to find out what their feeling is now since they've allowed them, you know, and from their police department, what the cause and effect is there. So, I mean, I think for a council, even though, you know, I'm stating I'm not for it, I think still as a council, it's good to have all the pros and cons to say while you're sitting up at the dais, to say, here's the pros and cons of it, and here's why I am still not in favor, or here's why I am in favor of it.
And then it's just not a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Well, she had some, today was talking about some, that police organization, the small cities organization, that they had had a lot of trouble with the sites. And nobody in her group of people was very interested in having safe injection sites in their cities, even though some of them already do.
I'm not comfortable with having a safe injection site here in Black Island personally. I feel, in my personal beliefs, it just increases the crime, either to our residents and homes, to our businesses, surrounding businesses. I feel that it allows, it's just not what we're looking for as a city as a whole, what we want to present to our public and what we want our city to look like. So I personally am not in favor of it.
And what's the message we're sending to our children?
That it's okay to use drugs and there's a safe place to inject, which is not okay. I mean, we start young, we start our kids with DARE program. We're very strong in our community about our DARE program. It would be one of those back and back course, like, hey, here's DARE, don't approve drugs, but oh, by the way, here's a safe injection site for your uncle's doing.
And these are the same reasons why we did not allow a marijuana site. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same thing that you just stated is the same thing why we did not want a marijuana site in the city of Black Diamond.
Well, and some of that at that point in time too, like the one business we did have, they actually lied on their application for their license, so that was a whole different story too. And it was brand new.
Yeah.
That's the difference too, is that with marijuana, we didn't know what it was going to be like.
Right, but I mean, it was the same reasons. Bring crime in, people are going to come to our city to buy drugs, they're going to do their drugs, they're going to steal stuff.
Heroin addicts and marijuana users are way different.
Well, I agree with that, but I'm just
culture.
Saying that the two,
more
that's like, the same reason.
Steal some Funyuns,
the same,
but, you know,
yeah, but it's the same reason.
Yeah. Let's look at the statistics on what does marijuana and the death and cause and addiction that causes in the medical world versus the opium and heroin and injections.
Well, I think in traffic accidents are high with marijuana use now.
Yeah.
I think.
Is that what
Jamie
said?
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's only hot. I've read a couple studies on that, right? And the first ones that came out that said, yep, there's an increase. But now they're saying, you know what? When we started doing breathalyzers, there was an increase in DUIs too. So now they're thinking that the reason that it's higher isn't because there's more people driving high. It's because now we can test it. So before they couldn't test for it.
The other thing too is people are combining the two drugs because it's not legal anymore.
Right.
So you get more people that are on alcohol and marijuana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I just think it's behavior that we as a city do not want to encourage our population. There's going to be those that are out there, and, but I don't want to encourage that.
So what's the next
step? And it's opposed to the marijuana. It's not legal. Heroin use is not legal. Marijuana. Heroin use is
a new word.
Heroin use is not legal in the state of Washington.
Correct.
Right? Whereas marijuana use is legal in Washington and 11 other states.
Okay, federal law.
In County, our esteemed prosecuting attorney has put out the word to all the law enforcement people that if you're caught with a gram or less of any controlled substance, they will not prosecute. So, and that's another thing, too, that drives me up a wall. let's ban straws in the city of Seattle, but you can have a safe injection site. Where is the smart step? Why are we encouraging people to have drugs on their person? Because they know they're not going to get in trouble. They're going to get released.
So the next step would be just to talk to the attorney and have him figure out what it would take to draft an ordinance to ban it. And, you know, he's really good at going to other cities that have already done it and doing the cut and paste thing. So it's not like that's going to be a really expensive thing. And then you can have this discussion during a council meeting, and then you can vote however you want to vote.
Well, I think it would be really good in the council meeting when we have our council the whole discussion, but
we've got the attorney here
too that we can direct our questions
right.
to.
Thank you for opening the discussion.
Yeah.
It was Chris's idea. Put it on the agenda.
We have heard it in the community also.
Yeah.
I have another thing. I'll have to do another agenda someday, but it's more on dealing with 1639 and that kind of stuff.
And Jamie had a meeting with the coalition of police, and they're just waiting to see what the courts do.
Yep. So. I mean, we could do more like what Republic did and just do a, we don't, won't support any unconstitutional legislation or that kind of thing, but we don't need the
publicity.
Yeah, exactly. We can do it like quietly, you know.
Yeah. Nothing's quietly around here.
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.